to the floor and solid deep.
We got lucky. Come on, defense.
Yeah, well, good morning. Good morning. And man, I love that. Just that initial bumper video produced in-house by our very own Tony Szabo from Addis Enterprise. And man, I just love the fact that we have such talented people here at Trinity Church to produce those kinds of things. And that's a really good intro into what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. We're going to be talking about what it means to be a disciple. And I love that Tony was able to produce that. I want to also give a shout out to Tony and Tweed. That's his wife. They're celebrating 1 year of marriage this month. And so Tony and Tweed, blessings on you all. You all, man, love you all so much. And so thank you for being a part of this family. Now, So you see a video like that and say, man, what are we talking about basketball this morning? I thought we were a church and we're talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Well, there's a lot that basketball has to do with following Jesus and a lot that following Jesus has to do with basketball. Now, for those of you who have, if you're a basketball fan, or if you've watched a lot of Michigan State Spartan men's basketball, you'll probably recognize, when you hear or see the Spartan men's basketball team slap the floor when they get back on defense. That's a sign that we need to intensify our efforts on defense. And typically when a team is down and they want to create turnovers, get the ball back, if they want to score more points or prevent the other team from scoring, they intensify their defense. And you might hear players and coaches yell out, D up, D up. And that just simply means we need to intensify our defense so that we can prevent the other team from scoring, so that we can actually create opportunities for us to score. Now, you're saying, well, what does that have to do with following Jesus? And what does that have to do with what we're talking about over these next several weeks? It has a lot to do with it because I don't know if you realize it, but the church is down double digits. The church feels like it's becoming more and more irrelevant. And I think we need to slap the floor and yell out to one another, D up, D up. Not so much defense, but to intensify, here it is, our discipleship efforts. And I know that's a big word. We're going to talk about that in this series, what it means and what it does not mean, and how you and I can intensify our efforts to be the kinds of disciples that Jesus is calling for. We're not just Sunday morning church attenders. Jesus doesn't call us to be that. That is cool, but Jesus calls us to be disciples. And in this season, it's time for us to intensify our discipleship efforts. We are not just fans in the stands. We have been called to be disciples, and we're going to talk about that. Remember what we said last week, there is a king, and that king has a kingdom, and that kingdom has a church, and the church has a mission, and that mission is to make disciples. Now, what we're going to do in this particular message, I want to give you some learning objectives up front. So when you look back over your notes and when you look back over this time, we want this time to be well spent. And so you can say, okay, I did understand that. I did learn that. And so here are the learning objectives for this message, all right? So after this message, I'm hoping you should be able to, number one, list what a disciple or what discipleship is not. In order for us to understand what discipleship is, I think we have to actually say what discipleship is not. Number two, at the end of this message, we hope you will be able to define the three aspects of what a disciple is. The three aspects of what a disciple is. And here's another one that that I'm not certain if it's going to be on the screen, but I want to give it to you just the same. Hear and see a real example of discipleship. Hear and see a real example of discipleship. I don't want to be just the talking head. I want you and I to see individuals who are actually doing it. All right, so let's get going. What discipleship is not? I'm going to give you these fairly quickly. They're going to be on the screen. You'll get an opportunity to write them down. But we have to agree about what discipleship is not. And here's the first one. Discipleship is not knowledge transfer. Discipleship is not knowledge transfer. It's not just about information. And if I have the information and never, ever do it, then I'm failing or we're failing at what it means to be a disciple. Secondly, discipleship is not behavior modification. Some people think if I can just change my behavior, then that is something, I'll be a good disciple. Now, it does include changing and being transformed, but it's not changing our behavior on our own. A third thing that discipleship is not, it's not church attendance. Discipleship is not church attendance. There are individuals who say, come to church, and that is fine, but discipleship is more than just church attendance. Here's a fourth one. Serving and doing good deeds is not the same thing as discipleship. It's not the same thing as discipleship. There is that. Now, serving and doing good deeds can be a byproduct of discipleship, but it's not what makes us a disciple. Here's another one. Being a part of a care group or a small group is not discipleship. It's a part of it, but it's not what makes us a disciple. And then here is another one. What discipleship is not? It's not for super Christians or a select few. There are individuals who say that you have to be at a certain status in order for you to be a disciple. And that is not the case. It's not just for people who know the Bible from cover to cover. It's not for people who have a whole lot of verses memorized. That's not exactly it. It is something, it's more than just, it's not just for a select few. Here is another. Discipleship is not Bible speak or doctrinal fluency. What I mean by that is if you know every single doctrine and you can speak and say all the Christian words, then somehow you must be a disciple. And that's not necessarily the case. Here's another one. Discipleship is not just hanging out and having fun with other Christians. Again, it's great to be together, but it's not just simply hanging out and having fun with other believers. Another one is discipleship is not making my own followers. Not making my own followers. There are individuals who say, follow me. And really, discipleship is about following Jesus. We're going to get into that. And then the last one is discipleship is not making people comfortable, and it is not consumer friendliness. So one of the things that we said, well, if we can just make people feel comfortable about following Jesus, if we can just make people feel comfortable about what it means to be a Christian, and if we can make it as consumer friendly as possible, then maybe we are being good disciples. And we know that Jesus says, hey, listen, you need to count the cost before you follow me, because I want your entire life to be reordered around me and who I am. And so that is what discipleship is not. I'm quite sure you can add to that list. Now, let me say this. Now, I need to say this. The list that I just gave you, all of those things can be byproducts of what it means to be a disciple. So if you are a good disciple, you will have these things in play. It takes receiving information, knowledge, for us to understand a little bit more what it means to follow Jesus. But those things by themselves do not make us a follower of Jesus. They become the outworking of what it means to follow Jesus. And again, so I think we need to be consistent with what it means to be a disciple. So the question is, what then is a disciple? Again, the learning objectives, what discipleship is not, we went through that. Then what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Well, in order for us to understand that, we kind of need to give some definition, biblical definitions of what a disciple is. Now, the word disciple is used about 260 times in the Gospel and Acts, about 230 times in the Gospels, and about 28 to 30 times in the book of Acts. So anytime you see the word used that much in the Bible or in a section of scripture, you know it's a big deal. Now the interesting thing is that the word disciple doesn't appear in the epistles or the book of Revelation. Now, other words are used like saint and brother and follower, but for the most part, discipleship or the word disciple is used in the gospel and in Acts. So it was a really, really big deal in Jesus's time as he was talking and as he was teaching. So here's the word, the Greek word mathetes. Mathetes, it just simply means student, follower, or apprentice. So mathetes is someone who is a student of a rabbi, someone who is a follower of a rabbi, and someone who is an apprentice of a rabbi. In other words, someone who learns from a rabbi. That is really the concept. And in this case, we are a student of Jesus. That's what the word means. When Jesus says, come and be my disciple, he says, come and be my learner. Come and be my follower. Come and be my apprentice. Learn from me. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, we are his disciples. We are individuals who recognize his authority in our lives. We are reordering our lives around our rabbi, Jesus. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our very lives, and he is worthy of our followership. And so the word mathetes appears, again, 260 times in the Gospels and in Acts, and it simply means student, follower, and apprentice. We are apprenticing, learning from Jesus, all right? And then there's a Hebrew phrase. It's called Talmudim, and Talmudim is plural, and it just simply means students of sages or rabbis. Now, there's a little bit of a nuance here, is that when Jesus says, come and be my Talmudim, or my disciples, or my students, he is saying, come and learn my mannerisms. Come and learn how I interpret scripture. Come and learn how I live my life. I want you to actually come and follow me, yoke up with me, and I am going to teach you how to live life. So when Jesus says, you are my mathetes, or you are my Talmudim, he is saying, you are my pupils, you are my students, you are lining up with me to follow everything that I say and that I do. Everything that I say and everything that I do. Now, in Jesus's day, this is very interesting. In Jesus's day, the student always chose the rabbi. The student always chose the rabbi. They saw a rabbi that they really, really liked, and they said, hey, I want to follow that guy. I want to follow him because he will, again, he will be my teacher. And the interesting thing here is that these guys that followed Jesus did not choose him, but Jesus broke the mold and he chose his disciples. He chose his disciples. That is very, very encouraging. You know why? Because we are broken. We mess up. And Jesus knew we would mess up. Jesus knew we were broken. Jesus knew that we didn't have it all together. And he says, hey, I want Marvin Williams. Hey, I want Jacquees Thomas. Hey, I want Ann Cody. Hey, I want Brian Tyson. I know they're going to mess up, but guess what? I love them so much, I want them on my team. Now, when I was growing up, nobody really picked me on their basketball team because I was too short. And they, the guys who were taller got the tall factor going on, and nobody picked me. And I know some of you feel that way right now. You feel washed up and washed out. You feel like nobody is interested in you. You feel like as if you are all by yourself. But let me let you know, when Jesus chooses his disciples, guess what? He chooses people like you and he chooses people like me. You say, well, wait a minute, Marvin, I have a past. Jesus says, hey, listen, come and be a part of my group. But you don't understand. I'm troubled. I got all kinds of issues. Jesus says, hey, you can be a part of my team. I died for people like you. And guess what? I want you to be a part of my group and my team. And so Jesus says, I want you to be my student. Now, there's an example of this. There's an example of this just to show you that Jesus went about choosing his disciples as opposed to like other rabbis where the student chose the rabbi. All right. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. This is what it says. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, here it is, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, just to give you an idea, Jesus probably had been teaching as they were fishing. He had been teaching while they were doing their business. And the reason why they were fishing, they were kind of C students in discipleship school, if you will, in rabbi school. They didn't cut the mustard. They didn't make it like others. And so they went back to doing the jobs that they were doing with their, more than likely, the family business. And Jesus recognized C students. He recognized individuals who had washed out and who had washed out of quote unquote discipleship school. And Jesus says, hey, I know nobody wanted you on their team. I want you to be on mine. And Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And then he says, I will make you something. He says, I will make you fishers of men. So here's the definition that we're going to be working with as Trinity attenders and Trinity friends. Here's the definition. So if we wake you up in the middle of the night, here are the three aspects of what it means to be a disciple from that passage and from the definition of Mathetes and Talmudim. All right, the first one is Jesus says, follow me. Let's go back to the other. Yeah, follow me. So a disciple is someone, here it is, number one, the first aspect, who follows Jesus. Who follows Jesus. And this is, when we say follow Jesus, you have accepted the authority of Jesus. You have accepted Jesus as the authority of life. You have accepted Jesus as Messiah. You have accepted Jesus as the once dead and now living Christ. He is the one who is leading my life now. That's what it means when Jesus says, follow me. I want you now to reorder your entire life, your finances, your family, your marriage, your career, around who I am, around my values, around my priorities. So I have on this shirt called Oxen, and you can go to Oxen, you know, go to Oxen Apparel, and my friend George Moss, this is his line, and the whole idea behind Oxen is it's taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." In other words, what Jesus was saying, I want you to get in the yoke with me. I want that. It was kind of a wooden thing, and I think you've seen this before. We've had it on stage. I believe Blake used it. And Jesus is the lead ox, and he says, I want you, Marvin Williams and Cody Jacquees and AJ Thomas and Tony Sabo and Twee, I want you to get in the yoke with me, and I want you to let me lead your marriage, let me lead your life, let me lead your career, let me lead your emotions, lead the way you do relationships, lead the way you do singleness, lead the way you handle conflict. I get in the yoke with me. Guess what? Because when you learn of me, it's not going to be easy, but guess what? You don't have to carry the yoke of life by yourself. And so what it means to be a disciple is someone first who follows Jesus, who accepts Jesus as the authority of life. Come, and this is what Jesus is saying, come and be a part of my group. I died for you. Here's the second aspect. He says, I will make you into something. I will make you. The second aspect is being transformed by Jesus. In other words, what Jesus was saying to those guys who said, follow me, and what he's saying to us, I want you to be something. You're not that right now. And so when you follow me, I am going to take parts of your life that are not like me, and by the power of the Spirit of God, I'm going to make that part of you like me. So Jesus says, hey, I'm going to, like you judge people a lot, I'm going to take that and I'm going to make you not a judger or a condemner, but I'm going to make you someone who has compassion. If you are an angry person and you have explosions of anger and the lava of your anger spills out into your relationships, Jesus says, hey, if you submit your anger to me, I am going to make you like me, and you're going to be able to, for people to be angry with you. And guess what? You won't get revenge, because I am placing my life in you. But in the immediate context, Jesus says, hey, you're fishing for people now, or you're fishing for fish now. I'm going to make you into something. I'm going to give you a concern for people. And what I am producing in you, I want you to reproduce in others. So the first aspect is to follow him. The second aspect is to submit my brokenness to Jesus, because he wants to make me into something, make you into something. And then the final aspect is someone who is on mission with Jesus, fishers of men. He says, follow me, I'm going to make you into something. And that something, I'm going to transform you. And the something I'm going to make you is I'm going to make you fishers of men. That is, I need to be on mission with Jesus. In other words, because judgment is coming, and because we want people to know the love of God through Jesus, our job as a disciple is to help other people follow Jesus. So that means there are two classes of people. People who are not yet followers of Jesus, so we share the gospel. We tell them about what Jesus did. That's a very, very important part. And I know we love to stay in the safe harbor, but he's called us to share this with others. And the second class of people who are already followers of Jesus, but they need to go deeper in their relationship with Jesus. And so, here's the definition of a disciple. This is the definition we're going to be working with. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who is being transformed by Jesus, and who is on mission with Jesus. Now, it's good to have the information, but this is not just about information. This is about actually doing it. And so I want to introduce you. I caught up with one of our members, AJ Miranda, and had a conversation with him about what it means to be a disciple. And listen, this dude is doing it. He is not just talking about it. He is doing it. And we are seeing the fruit of his obedience as someone who follows Jesus, someone who is being transformed by Jesus, and someone who is on mission with Jesus. Let's listen to this conversation with AJ Miranda.
Man, I am so, so excited about this conversation with you, AJ, and so glad that you took some time to be here with us this morning. And so a lot of people at Trinity may not know who you are. So tell us a little bit about the man, AJ Miranda.
I'm AJ Miranda. I'm 19 years old. I'm a sophomore at Adrian College. I'm here on the baseball team. I've been going to Trinity ever since I was about 8 years old. So I've been around for a minute. And
You're an old head, man. You're an old head. You've been around for a long time. So we've been talking about three aspects of what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, someone who is being transformed by Jesus, and someone who is on mission with Jesus. So what I want to do, I want to ask you a question about all three of those. And so the people of Trinity can hear what God is doing in your life. So the first question is, when did you begin to follow Jesus? I'm talking about like for real. Not your mother's faith, not your dad's faith, but when did following Jesus become AJ Miranda's faith?
Yeah, for sure. So I accepted Christ when I was around 12 years old, but I didn't really make it my own until I was in high school, middle of high school, when I was like, wow, like, this is for real. This is transforming my life. I'm seeing it happen in myself, and everyone needs to know about Jesus because that's what it's all about. So,
yeah, man, and you've been doing that. I can see the passion in you. You want people to know who Jesus is, and so now you're 19 years old. 19 years old. You're following Jesus. You're on the campus of a secular college. And so tell me, what's the most difficult thing about following Jesus?
Yeah. Like you mentioned, it's a secular campus. And I guess the most, the hardest thing would be that the community is a little bit smaller. It is a smaller school in and of itself, but the community here is a little bit smaller. I have the honor and privilege to be walking alongside some awesome, awesome friends that I pray for, and that as I walked through my freshman year, I found, and Christ brought them through. But yeah, at first it was definitely the community. It was small. It felt lonely, to be a Christian on this campus.
That's difficult. I would imagine for anyone, whether you're on a college campus or not, just being consistently with a group of people who are going to encourage you and hold you up. So that's really cool. I really appreciate that. Now, again, one of the other aspects of what it means to be a disciple is to be transformed by Jesus. So talk to us right now about what is going on in your life where you say, Jesus is transforming me in this area. Here's an area that may not have looked so much like Jesus, but man, Jesus has gone to work. and he is making me look more like him in this way. So talk to us a little bit about what it means to be transformed by Jesus.
Yeah. Being transformed by Jesus, I mean, I think it first starts off with submission and submitting to his plans. And that's something that I've really struggled with and that he's really had to work in my life. And I still continue to struggle with it today. Like I mentioned, I'm a baseball player. It's been my dream ever since I was 3 years old to make it to the league and to do all those things that I want to do. And it's just been constantly in my mind that, you know, like I need to submit to God's plan. Because I know Mike Todd, Pastor Mike Todd, he says that God funds his plans. And so I love that dude. And that's such a cool quote because it's so true. When we go outside the will of God, it's going to be really, really hard for us to get by in this life. So that's something that I'm continually walking through. My plans for the future, my plans for schooling, and what that looks like. So yeah, I think it first looks like, trusting God and submitting to him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's, I think that's for all of us. So you're not alone. You're not alone. There are people who are listening to you right now saying, yep, that's mine. That's where God is transforming me to be more like Jesus. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, not my will, God, but yours be done. And I know your heart, and I know you want to submit your future to Jesus and transform you in that way. And so, man, thanks for that. Now, the third aspect of what it means to be a disciple is to be on mission with Jesus. Yeah. And man, this is such an exciting part of your life that I want everyone to hear about it. And so what does being on mission with Jesus look like in your life right now? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, right now it looks like loving on people and spending time with them and letting people know that you're there for them. Like Jesus is there for you. Right now I have a Bible study on the baseball team that I started my freshman year.
Wait a minute. You're a freshman. You started a Bible study. Aren't you a little bit too young for that? Shouldn't you be like 50 years old before you go out on a limb like that to start a Bible study on a secular campus? I think, man, you are way, way too young for that. What do you think of that?
I would disagree with that. At any stage in your life, when you feel the calling of Jesus, on your life to go out and tell people, you are never, ever too young. And so, yeah, it started and I was sitting in my dorm one night and I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit prompt me saying, you need to start a Bible study. You need to tell these people about me. And my first initial thought was, nah, that's not going to be me. You know, somebody else can do that. And then I really felt convicted and I kind of felt the Holy Spirit say, like, if you're not going to do it, then who's going to do it? And so I was just sitting in my room and I was like, all right. So I picked up my phone, I called my dad and I was like, hey, I think this is for real. I think I'm going to do this. And he was like, all right, well, you need to text Pastor Marvin then to tell him to get you some Bibles, because it's hard to do a Bible study when you don't have Bibles. It's been a continual journey ever since then. And it's been such an honor just to walk with those guys for the last year. So yeah, it's been
So tell us what happened. Something happened last week and you and again, your dad told me a little bit about it, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, some of the fruit of being on mission with Jesus. Tell us about that fruit.
Yeah, so last weekend, it was amazing. And if you would have told me a year ago that this would happen, I would not have believed you probably. It was just, it's crazy the things that Jesus can do and how he can transform hearts. But last weekend we had five guys on the baseball team come to Christ. And we're going through a series right now, a little three-part series of what it looks like to devote your life to Christ. And at the beginning of the message, or at the beginning of the this, it's more of a discussion, at the beginning of the discussion, I was like, hey, at the end of this, I'm going to ask you guys if you want to give your lives to Christ. And so I made sure I did that at the beginning because I was like, I really want you to think about this because this decision is going to affect your life for eternity. It's going to be the biggest decision you ever make. And so at the end of that time, I asked, and we had five guys raise their hands, and it was just crazy. I led them through a prayer. And it's been a journey ever since. So,
man, AJ, man, you're doing it, man. You're doing it. And Jesus says when we go and make disciples, he's going to be with us. And I just believe, man, Jesus is with you right now. You're seeing the fruit of that. You stepped out in faith. You're following Jesus. You're being transformed by him, and you're on mission with him. And he is showing you the fruit. Well, listen, let me tell you, your mother and father, they worried about you, man. They were like, I don't know if AJ's going to make it. Like, is he going to follow Jesus or is he going to be out on his own? And, well, listen, man, I know your mom and dad are proud, are proud of both of you, you and your brother Andrew. But the way you're stepping out in faith, and the way you're making disciples, the way you're investing and walking alongside people on your you're a ready-made audience, right? Baseball team, and now you're doing three-part series. You sound like a pastor of a church or something, man. You're doing a three-part series on what it means to be devoted to following Jesus, man. I am so excited for you, and man, I got major love for you, and the fact that we can partner with you in some way, whether it's getting Bibles or to be praying for you, it is such a privilege and an honor to see someone who's taking Jesus's word seriously, and your disciple, someone who follows Jesus, and someone who's being transformed by him, and someone who's on mission with him. AJ, man, thanks for this conversation. And, man, until you come back to the city, man, be easy. And I hope you have a great, time, when you're playing your scrimmages, and ball out, man, ball out.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Right, bye.
So, yeah, that's what it means, man. That's what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, giving your life to him, someone who is being transformed, being changed into the image of Jesus, and then someone who's on mission with Jesus. And AJ is balling out seriously as a baseball player, but he's balling out as a disciple as well. And this is not just knowledge that we're trying to get across. This is about what it means to actually do it. And so one of my challenges for you is to take the three aspects of what it means to be a disciple and then evaluate yourself based on those three aspects. That is, when did you begin following Jesus? That's the first part. That's the first question. When did you begin following Jesus? And then talk to someone this week. Maybe you've already told them that story, but tell the story again when you began following Jesus. And then talk to someone this week about what is being transformed in your life. What is Jesus doing in your life? Find a trusted friend and say, here is how I think I'm making progress. Or even ask someone that you know, where have you seen me be? Where have you seen me be transformed by Jesus? And then the last aspect is begin praying and saying, God, where are the opportunities for me to be on mission with you? Where are the opportunities? Is it my neighbor? Is it my friend? Is it a coworker? Where are the opportunities for me to be on mission with you? And listen, that's what a disciple is. Someone is a student and apprentice of Jesus, following him, being transformed by him, and being on mission with him. Listen, so good to be with you today. And I'm going to turn it back over to Charlie. Charlie, back to you, my friend. Take us home.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Marvin. Man, AJ's testimony is absolutely wonderful. Like, I've heard it maybe two or three times already, and it just gets better every time. That's a testimony that's developing every single day, every single time that Bible study meets, every single time he goes out into his college at Adrian. And man, AJ, I was in Crosswalk with him as a student. I'm in a men's group with him now that his dad David Miranda leads. So man, it is awesome to see someone my age making such a huge difference in the world. In the world around him, in his immediate surroundings, and that's only gonna grow. The biggest thing that I've learned from AJ is the prayer of God, show me, God, where do you want me? Because for me, it's like I don't have the boldness to go and just kind of do something, and so the best route for me is to say, hey, God, show me where. Show me where you want me to go. And so that's the biggest thing I've learned from AJ's testimony. And I mean, the second part to that is just obedience. God will show you, and obedience is the key there. Because he can show you a million people to reach. He can show you, all these different things to do. But as long as we remain obedient, That's when the change happens. That's where AJ's testimony comes from, is his obedience. That's where your testimony comes from. And so, hey, God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a great week.